we're hearing a lot about the coronavirus in the news hourly, I feel, at this point. And something that we've heard a lot is that it's novel and deadly. Can you kind of go over some basic facts about the coronavirus for people in Bristol Bay?
I certainly can. I'd like to start first by talking about immunity and immunizations and why they work. So your body building immunity is kind of like getting good at a skill, like shooting a gun or knitting. First time you try it, you don't hit the target, or your knitting project has lumps and holes and weird stitches. But the more you practice, the more accurate you get with shooting, or you have a prettier product at the end. In the body, when your immune system sees a germ, whether that's a virus or a bacteria or a toxin made by a virus or a bacteria, which is like a poison, for the first time, your body can't figure out how to kill it or neutralize it. A way to think about that is that the body wants to wrap the germ up in a package, like putting a wrapping paper on a big old lumpy Christmas present. But the body has to make that wrapping paper fit the germ or the toxin or the virus. The wrapping that the body makes is called an antibody. As the body tries to come up with a way to kill the germ, you get a fever or feel achy and tired, since the body's using a lot of energy to try to figure out how to make the wrapping for that germ. Vaccines work by showing the body something that is foreign and shaped like the germ or the toxin, but not active like the germ or the virus. For instance, the influenza virus in the shot form has an inactivated virus. Hmm. They kill it somehow, either by heat or by exposing it to a chemical to make it dead. So it still looks like the virus, but it's dead. It can't make more of itself inside your body. You might feel sick after getting the flu shot because your body sees that there's this foreign stuff and reacts by making a bunch of antibodies to wrap up those foreign particles. That can make you feel feverish and achy. But the flu virus is not living and creating more of itself inside you. So you don't get the flu from getting the vaccine. You get an immune reaction, which means your body's working. The next time your body sees that germ or toxin, it recognizes it right away and can immediately remember how to make the wrapping paper for that particular germ and toxin, so you don't get sick or you don't get as sick. Some vaccines create antibodies that last longer than others. The tetanus vaccine can last up to 5 years and sometimes up to 10 years. However, some vaccines need to be boosted every year, like the flu vaccine. The flu virus has a whole bunch of sticky bits sticking out. You hear about H1N1 or H2N5 or whatever. The H's have to do with one kind of protein, and the N's have to do with another kind of protein that stick on the virus, and your body has to make the wrapping paper to fit that virus. The virus wants to live, so it changes itself a little bit every year, and the vaccine manufacturers try their best to guess what virus is going to be common and try to make the vaccine have the dead virus particles that go along with that one so your body can remember how to make those wrapping papers, those antibodies. So, coronavirus. Why is it a big deal? Because nobody's ever seen it before maybe December of last year that we know about. The humans just haven't seen that germ before. None of our bodies know how to make the wrapping paper for that germ. We don't even have a vaccine for it yet, and we're probably not going to for at least a while. It takes a while to make the vaccine that will effectively work for the virus.
Right.
In most people who get this virus, it causes mild symptoms, kind of like a cold. Oh, incidentally, coronaviruses in general, not this new one, but in general, that is what can give you the common cold.
Huh.
And it depends on where it lands in your body. If it lands in your nose, you might just get a runny nose. If you breathe it all the way down into your lungs, it can get down there and create infections down there. So 80% of the people may not have any symptoms or may have mild symptoms. About 15% of the people can have pretty bad symptoms, fever, cough, trouble breathing, and about 5% of the people, it's life-threatening.
Hmm.
That seems to be people who are already not with such a good immune system, elderly people, people with heart disease, people with bad lungs.
Mm-hmm. And so can we compare those statistics to influenza, something that people are a little bit more familiar with?
Sure. When you talk about how infective a virus is, that means how easy it is to spread from one person to another. Since we've only known about the coronavirus for about 2 months, we're not sure exactly how infective it is. For instance, can one person easily spread it to two people or to 10 people. We just honestly don't know that yet. Probably a year from now we will. Mm-hmm. When it comes to fatality rate, the fatality rate depends on where it is found. For instance, generally speaking, initially in China, the fatality rate was about 2%. So 2 people out of every 100 that got it died from it. In South Korea, only about 0.3%, or certainly less than 2 people for every 100. That would actually be 3 people out of every 1,000 died in South Korea. I don't know, and I'm not sure anybody knows exactly why the numbers were so different, but it may have something to do with the number of people that got tested in South Korea, so they may have picked up more of those milder cases, or it may have something to do with how often people in China smoke, or the level of air pollution in China. So common question would be, how do you get it, or how is it spread?
Right, how do you get it?
It is spread by droplets that spray out of a sick person's mouth or nose when they cough or sneeze. These droplets can fly into your eye or fly into your nose or fly into your mouth, or they can fly down and get on a tabletop or something. Once again, it's hard because we don't know exactly how long those droplets will live in a countertop, but let's say that you're using the buggy that somebody had even influenza, and they sneezed on it when they were going through the grocery store. Hmm. So there's those virus particles sitting on the buggy handle. Then you touch it with your hands because you're just doing your shopping and you're feeling well, but sometimes your nose itches and then you rub your nose, and then you've just put that virus from the buggy handle into your own nose the viruses want to live. They're all about making more of themselves, and they make more of themselves by hijacking your cells to make more of themselves.
So what are some common precautions that people can take?
It's simple. It's just like your mom said, wash your hands. Wash your hands with soap and water. That's actually the best way for this one. If you have the hand sanitizer is great. Make sure it's at least 60% alcohol in there. Avoid touching your face, particularly if you're out of your own house, so you're not touching something that somebody else touched, so you don't put it back in your body. If you do get a fever and a cough and shortness of breath, and particularly bad shortness of breath, you need to come to the hospital, but please call us first. Call the emergency room, 842-9244, to let us know you're coming in so we can get ready for you. You'll be asked to put a mask on when you first get there. So what does the mask do? The mask makes it so that when you cough or sneeze, you don't spray those infective droplets out into our waiting room. We're sorry you're sick, but we don't want more people to get sick from that.
And just to be clear, people who are not sick and who are out and about in town don't need to be wearing masks to protect themselves?
That is correct.
Okay.
Or at least not at this time. What we will be able to test you for at the hospital is influenza and respiratory syncytial virus, 2 viruses that can also cause fever and cough and shortness of breath. Currently, testing for coronavirus, we are following the state of Alaska epidemiology recommendations. If we get somebody that has cough, fever, and shortness of breath that we can't explain by they have influenza or they have RSV or they have some other illness causing that we can tell, then we can get the testing kits. However, currently the testing kits are in Anchorage and they would have to be flown out to us, and then we would have to fly the samples back in to be tested.
Kind of looking at coronavirus and how, you know, the state of Alaska is approaching it, there have been no reported cases so far. I think 4 people as of Thursday afternoon have been tested for it. For residents in rural communities in Bristol Bay, so in the villages surrounding Dillingham and elsewhere in the region, what can people there expect?
In all honesty, we don't know yet exactly what to expect. However, if you have not traveled outside of the state of Alaska, the chances of you having coronavirus is nearly zero. I can't say zero because you can never be 100%, but it's so close to zero, it might as well be zero. If we start getting cases in Alaska, one of the big things is if you're sick, stay put. Stay in your home. Don't go out sneezing and coughing and infecting other people and other surfaces. Take care of yourself with the common stuff. So what can we treat it with? Well, right now, Tylenol and fluids or ibuprofen and fluids, because we don't have any antiviral medicines for this at this time. Mm-hmm. Things are changing rapidly, and it it remains to be seen just how much this illness will blossom in the United States or in Alaska. And for now, the best thing is do the good things for yourself. Get plenty of sleep, drink lots of fluids, avoid alcohol, stop smoking, get regular exercise. I mean, being outside is probably a really protective factor because there aren't many people around you outside.
Thank you so much for coming in and giving us the rundown of what Bristol Bay is looking at in terms of the coronavirus so far.
It is my pleasure.